Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we have a great episode in store for us today. Kristen, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's been a super chill week as we were, you know, talking about, oh, what are we going to talk about at the beginning? We don't always want to talk about our weeks necessarily, but that's kind of what ends up happening. But it's been a very chill week as I was thinking through. I'm like, I don't have anything really of note to talk about. I led a really boring week these last 2 weeks, but I'm super excited. My brother and sister-in-law come in town from Kansas, and they're actually currently driving in, and they'll be in tonight, and their three daughters. So it'll be a week of a lot of fun. I've cleared out like my evening schedule. Beautiful that I can work from home, so I can take my laptop over there and do some work while just hanging out with family. But I'm really excited about that. We're going to a Reds game Friday night, and it'll be like a firework night.
Oh, how fun.
I know. I'm super excited. So, and I think we're actually getting the whole family. So like my other brother and his family are going to be able to go as well. So it'll be like our entire family going to the Reds game.
I love that.
A lot of fun. We are a baseball family. So the girls, not so much. I don't think they enjoy it, but we're bribing them with food and then fireworks at the end.
It'll be great.
It'll be fun.
And you are terrible at taking pictures. So hopefully
I am
someone else in your family. That's a great memories.
It is. And also then we have like Monday is Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And so we're having everyone out to my parents' house, and we're going to take some family pictures then, because the last time we took family pictures was a really long time ago. So we're going to take some family pictures, recreate some pictures, like now that, you know, Caden is my oldest nephew is 17. So we're going to recreate some pictures that they took when he was like 9 or 10, you know? So we're going to do some recreated pictures with all the kids. So we're really looking forward to that. Yeah. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. It has been, for me, mine's been the opposite. It's been a crazy week. Last weekend we went to Louisiana and it was like nonstop. I went to a luncheon with my mom, a ladies' luncheon at the church I grew up in, and got to see a lot of faces I haven't seen in a really long time. And that was really sweet. And then we celebrated my niece, nephew, and mother-in-law's birthday all in one weekend. So it was like jam-packed family fun.
So not birthdays all together. It was separate birthdays.
Yeah, separate.
Like celebrating.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was super sweet and lots of family time. And we came back tired.
Sure.
And then Saturday night, I'm like getting my kids ready for bed. And I go into Emma's room and I'm like getting her clothes out, because I leave earlier than the family on Sundays. And so I was like getting her clothes laid out so her dad can get her ready. And I'm like, I smell gas really strong, and that's not normal. And so we ended up, my brother's with the fire department, and he was like, you can call the fire department and they'll come check, you know, for a gas leak. And so that's what we did at 11:30 at night. And they found a gas leak, and so we haven't had any gas to our house for the last few days, and so hopefully someone's coming out today to fix that. But that happened. Then as I'm laying, and I kid you not, I'm laying in bed last night, like, I really want a warm shower. It was like 10:45, and my son comes down the stairs and he's like, mommy and daddy, I want to ask Jesus to give me a clean heart. And we're like, what? Well, let's have a conversation, because we thought he was in bed asleep. And he's been bringing this up a lot lately, but we just are so intentional with our kids about letting them lead the conversation. A lot of times he'll ask questions, we'll answer, and it's like squirrel, you know, like, yeah. Oh, I want to go play. Like,
gonna okay, go play go the play. Switch now.
Yeah. And so on Saturday, actually, he was watching TV, and he was like, I say randomly, we all know it's the Holy Spirit's prompting, but he was like, mommy, if Jesus doesn't give me a clean heart, will I be separated from him for forever? And as a mom, you just want to be like, make it all better. But I had to give him hard truth. I was like, yeah, buddy, That's what that means. And he's like, okay. And then he was like, can I watch Bluey? Like, you know, totally like gone.
Moving on.
And he's gone. And so last night he came down and we were like, yeah, let's have this conversation. And so we did, I asked him a lot of questions and he answered them. And, his sister came downstairs. And so we are all just sitting in my bed. And he was sitting on my lap and we just laid hands over him, all of us. And he prayed like the shortest prayer I've ever heard him pray, but it was so sweet. He said, he was like, dear Jesus, will you give me a clean heart and get rid of my dirty heart? And will you adopt me into your family? And I just like, I look over at John Eric and my husband and I'm just like, I have like tears in my eyes. And it was just so sweet. And you know, these conversations are going to be ongoing.
For sure.
Of course, but you know, I became a believer when I was 5 mm-hmm. and Emma was really young in our preschool ministry. And, anyone's ever met her, like you can just, you know, that she loves and trusts Jesus. And, you know, now my son, we're having these conversations when he's so little. And it just reminded me that don't ever underestimate our kids. And if we're praying for generational change, like it starts in our preschool ministries. And man, it was such a sweet reminder as a mom, not like as a church staff member, as a mom, that the work that we do matters. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I went to bed like fired up and then like I couldn't sleep because I was so excited to record this today. And so, yeah, it's been a really sweet week of just like thanking the Lord for his kindness and goodness. To our family.
That is so cool. That is so cool to like actively see the Holy Spirit working in his heart and drawing him and, you know, to hear his little mind think through things like, and that is just really cool. And I can't imagine so rewarding, right? Like you said, that the work you're doing as a parent matters.
Yeah.
And like you said, don't underestimate them because they can understand. They might not be able to articulate everything and understand all of the deep truths, but the gospel is very basic.
Yeah.
And it is something that he is thinking through and believing. And that is just so, so cool. I know when you texted me last night about it, I was so excited for you guys. Yeah. And it's one of my favorite things to hear. I've heard with my other brothers, like each time that their kids come to Christ and have those conversations. So it's fun to be able to rejoice with those in your family, and you're my family. So
you're Auntie KK.
Exactly. I really am. And it's the greatest thing. But let's not make them wait any longer. Let's get into this interview. I know it's going to be great and it's going to be a blessing. It was a blessing to me to be able to just sit and talk with Elizabeth and hear her heart behind her book. And let's just get into it.
Let's do it. We are so excited today to have a sweet friend of mine on the podcast. Elizabeth Woodson is a Bible teacher who is passionate about equipping believers to understand the rich theological truths of Scripture. She's also the author of one of my favorite books, Embrace Your Life, How to Find Joy When the Life You Have is Not the Life You Hope For. Elizabeth, thank you for coming today.
I am so excited to be here. So excited to jump into this conversation with y'all.
We are going to talk about one of my favorite things today, which I feel like coming up in my background, it is something that we don't ever talk about. But I think just overall, church-wide, we don't really talk about it a lot. And that is the practice of lament. My personal story, and some of our listeners have already heard this, so I'm going to share it again. My husband and I got pregnant with twins about a year into our marriage, and I was told that I'm going to not be able to have kids. So we were just like super excited. And I remember I ended up miscarrying both of them. Mm-hmm. And it was a very, very, very dark time for me. And I remember really struggling with seeing the goodness of God in that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it. I knew the text. I knew it was true. But in the middle of suffering and hardship and all the emotional pain that it was together, I was really fighting to believe what I knew was true in those moments. And I remember talking to someone in the midst of all of this and just telling them, like, there are times when I'm just on the ground in my bedroom mm-hmm. yelling and saying, why? And I will never, like, this marked my life. I was told you need to be really careful with how you do that. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to talk to the God of the universe that way. And I remember saying, if that's the case, that's not a God that I want. Mm-hmm. It was a very crisis of the faith for me in that time. And learning the practice of lament, and it was really life-changing for me. In the last few years, my husband has lost a parent, 4 grandparents, and I've lost 2 grandparents. And I would, like, 5 of those were unbelievers, and really struggling with that. The practice of lament and taking these big things to God, that I could do that, was such a comfort for my soul. So yeah. I am really passionate about this, and I really want people to be able to know that, you know, He knows you and He sees you, and you can talk to Him. And you, I think you communicate that so beautifully in your book. And so I'm really thankful that you're here and that you can kind of walk us through what that looks like and why we need it. So Elizabeth, when we talk about lament, can you just kind of unpack, like, what do we mean when we say lament?
Lament, I like to call it the prayer for the people in the in-between place, that it shouldn't be any surprise to anybody that hard things happen in our lives, bad things happen. I would even say evil things happen. The Bible calls evil, evil. And so that we would do the same. And so the question is, what do you do with that? We are a people that God has given emotions to, that we are not numb to the things that happen. We might try to numb ourselves through the profound amount of coping mechanisms that are available to us. But we all have this nagging sensation, if anything, that something's really wrong and I don't know what to do with it. And so what I love about scripture is that it's a model for us, right? It's that we see the people of God, in particular Israel through the Old Testament, as they live as a people of God. And we see them go through some really painful situations, like just really painful. And the habit we see them practice over and over again are these prayers of lament, and really these prayers of sadness and grief and anger and frustration, but they're words they speak to God. Within itself, you know, that if it's included in our Bible, then it's useful for us. And what we see is, well, these people are saying some really honest things to God. David, at times it can feel like he's yelling at the top of his lungs, you know, Lord, you forgot me, you're not here, you're not keeping your promises.
Yeah.
And I think all of us know what that feels like, to believe God, if you're good, why do bad things happen to good people? Why did you allow this in my life? I don't want this. Where are you? Mm-hmm. So on and so on and so on. And what lament does is it gives us a place or something to do with the pain, right? Because the pain does not disappear. Mm-hmm. Again, we can either take it to God, or we'll try to do a myriad of coping mechanisms. My favorite is Bluebell ice cream, Rocky Girl. Road. Something happens in my life, and I just find myself in the Target aisle at the back of the store with the pineapple Bluebell ice cream in my hand. I don't know how that happens, but
it just appears, right?
Here it just we appears. Are. It's like, oh my gosh. And so I think I'm not even going to bother you with that Instagram reference, but I just somehow find myself in the ice cream aisle, and my coping mechanism of choice is comfort. Like, I just want to comfort myself. I want to give myself a really warm hug. And there's nothing wrong with desiring comfort, right? It's when it becomes the choice over God. And that's when we step into a place of, okay, I'm making a decision that I don't need to. And it's also, I want to say there's a lot of grace for whoever's listening, because this isn't meant for us to beat ourselves down. I think when we recognize, okay, maybe I'm doing a little too much of something, I'm shopping too much, I'm ignoring things, I get easily angered, I'm yelling at my kids or my family, or I'm just in a corner and just numbed out. That's letting you know God has something better for you. And so, Lord, help me find the better. And I believe the better starts at the place of lament, of acknowledging I have pain and doing that acknowledgement with the word.
Yeah, I really love that. I think one of the things that I really resonate with is in Psalms. I think it's like Psalms 13, mm-hmm. where he's like, how long, O Lord, mm-hmm. will you forget mm-hmm. me forever? And I think yeah. that's a reality. If you are a follower mm-hmm. of Jesus mm-hmm. and you're walking through suffering and you're going to ask yourself that question. Like yeah. when hardship comes, there's days when you wake up and you're like, God, have you forgotten me? Have you hidden yeah. your face from me? Mm-hmm. And I think lament is that language that kind of puts it behind, like you said, like your feelings of, hey, emotions are a gift. Like I have yeah. them and I'm real and I feel like you don't see me. Like, where mm-hmm. are you? And I think that's so encouraging. And what a gift that's in the word for us mm-hmm. to say, like, we're not alone, you know? I think of Jesus himself yeah. lamenting on the cross in the garden. Mm-hmm. And he talked to God about his pain. And what a great example that, like, the man of sorrows mm-hmm. related to us as we are, you know, makes me tear up wanting to talk about it.
And why would we not? And why, if Jesus did it, why yeah, would we not exactly. be expected to do exactly. it? And it's such a, like you said, I think it's such a foreign thing for us. And I was sitting here trying to think, I'm like, well, why is it such a foreign thing for mm-hmm. us? Like, why do we so much mm-hmm. not want to lament, or we do turn to those comforts? Why is that? Like, why, how have we come so far from that, from where, like, the children of Israel did practice that? Mm-hmm. And we just, that's not something we practice.
Yeah. I think there are a couple of things that are connected to that. We are the product of the culture we live in. And so mm-hmm. the way in which we worship God and we view God is also related to us being Western and American. You know, there's all these big words you can talk about the time of philosophy we're in, and we don't need to get into that place, but we believe what we believe about God for a reason. And I think our culture doesn't do well with pain, right? I think mm-hmm. our Jewish brothers and sisters have just better habits of engaging the holistic nature of who we are as people. And so, you know, pain makes us uncomfortable. Lament makes us uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You think about the worship songs we sing in church, and rarely do we sit in songs that are sad for a long time. Like, we might have like the verse that's sad, but then we're going to get to the bridge and the anthem, and we're like, yay, you know?
Exactly.
But there actually are a significant amount of prayers of lament in the book of Psalms. And so I think part of it is we in our culture just are really uncomfortable with being in pain for extended periods of time. Like, we want to get out of it. We want to get away from it. And lament makes you sit in it and face it. And really, honestly, that's, I think, the struggle that a lot of people have is just being honest and facing it and sitting in it a little bit and not wanting to escape it. And not sitting as in we're just stirring in it, but just, Lord, I'm going to be present with you. And that's not easy. And I think that takes a practice and a shaping by our church culture. I think also people are fearful that it's not going to do anything. Right. Okay. I say this prayer, lament, woo, woo, woo. And then my life's the same.
Now what?
Yeah. Now what? Exactly. And lament is not a magic wand, right? It's not that, oh, I pray this prayer and immediately my problems are going to go away. But I believe it's this dynamic place of spiritual transformation, right? As believers, we believe that we don't walk the journey of faith alone, that the Holy Spirit is present in that with us. And I believe, like other spiritual disciplines that we are called to practice, it is transformative. It reminds us of truth. It reminds us of God's character. It is a place of hope because we're not praying to ourselves or praying to the God of the universe who changes things. Now that change might not come in the time we want it to, but he does and is doing a work. And so we're just fearful that I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit here and nothing's going to happen. And really it is. And a huge reason why we as believers need to know our Bibles is to remember the promises of God, the promises he's made and the promises that he hasn't made. Because sometimes we can listen to people and believe God has said things and he hasn't said those things. He has not said we will not struggle. What he has said is he will be with us in the struggle. And so we have discomfort, we have fear, but we also have anger. Sometimes you're just really angry and we might believe that it is dishonoring if I talk to God with the really big emotions I have.
Yes.
But here's the thing. God already knows what you're thinking. And so you're not hiding from him. And it is, again, in the way that we are made, in our physiology, your emotions, they're not going to go anywhere. And we see a model in scripture of God's people sharing the big, big, big emotions. Psalm 13, we talked about it before, of David, and he says some really strong things, but that's not where he ends. And so that's the thing about lament, is it's not that we start with our anger and frustration, but we end with hope in God. But you can't get to the hope if you're not honest about the anger. Anger is not bad. Anger done in sin is what scripture talks about. And that sin leads us away from a place we are seeking to honor God. And lament helps us say, God, I got this stuff and I need you to help me with it, but I'm going to tell you what it is. In the midst of that, I'm going to remind myself that you're good and you're gracious and you're kind and you're faithful, and that you can and will do something. Lord, help me. And so it is that we trust that it, even though it's uncomfortable, it's a good place. Even though we might be fearful, God is bigger than our fears. And even though we might be angry, God can handle our anger because he is in control of all things. And I think if we can get past those issues, we can be in a place where we are comfortable with engaging in lament.
I love that. One of the things you said in your book that I highlighted and like marked little asterisks beside was you said,
whole chapter
is that God is not afraid of your anger, nor will you dishonor him by bringing it to him. And back to my story at the beginning, that's exactly how I felt. And one thing I would like for you maybe to touch on a little bit before we get into like, what does lament look like? You know, the practice of it. I think something that we have as a current believers, like in the church today, is that we have this idea, not only can we not bring the hard things to God, but we're just complaining. That's all we're doing, is we're just going to him and complaining. And so I think it's important to kind of tease out when our complaints are good and when it is. You said something that's like from a sinful place. Could you maybe tease that out a little bit of like, what's the difference?
Yeah, you know, I think one, I believe it's the amount of times that you're talking about something, right? And so there's this initial time, or maybe the first few times where you are really trying to process through something, you're trying to express it, you know, you might say verbally, you might journal it out. And so you're just really honest about this is hard and this is difficult. The good thing about the Holy Spirit is that he's present with us in the process. And so asking the Holy Spirit to reveal, where are my expectations about life just unreasonable? You know, I might have expected this thing to happen or expected this person to marry me. You know, I think about myself as a single, never married, and growing up in church was given the expectation that if I check all these boxes, I pray all these prayers, I serve great, then my husband's going to come. And it's not true.
and come when you were like 22 or 23, right?
Exactly.
Like come at a young age where they
come at a young age.
Live the rest of your life, have the babies and have all the family and great. And And then when you find yourself not there, it throws you for a tailspin, right?
It throws you for a tailspin. And that produces frustration and anger. And in the process, if we allow God to be honest with us, Psalm 139, search my heart, oh God, you know, and lead me in the way everlasting. You find something funky, lead me in the right way. Is that God, you actually never promised me marriage. You promised me a good life. You promised me joy and an abundant life, but you never promised me a husband. And so Lord, adjust my expectations, but there's still pain. And so that I deal with the pain, but complaining is when, Lord, I deserve this. You haven't given me this. Lord, you know, we keep our prayers, keep showing up with the same thing, or it's somebody else's fault. Right? That we spend our time just blaming other people. And really we're not seeking to move forward. And that's a, I think the it's a tender space and it's a tender kind of line between showing up with the fullness of our emotions and this place in which we fall over into complaining, but that our motivation and heart posture is I want to get to a place where I can honor and glorify God, no matter what, that my hands are open, that what I'm coming to him with, he may not say he's going to change. That to me is a place of appropriate lament. Complaining is, give me what I want. You should give me what I want. And I imagine I give me what I want. And that shows, I believe, shows up over time in what we're talking about, that we should, the Lord is sovereign and that we would want his way over our way, even when that's really, really hard.
I was going to say that can be a really hard place to get to, mm-hmm. right? To go and say, okay, God, like I'm going to come to you with this, yeah. with open hands and say, this is hard. Like, I don't want to walk this road.
Yep.
This is not the road I would have chosen for myself. Yep. But as we talked about last, you know, episode, God's goodness, in your mm-hmm. goodness, you have yeah. deemed that this is the road that I am walking. Yeah. So I have to trust that this is what's best for me right now. But that's a hard thing to get to, get to and say, okay, God, like, here it is. And, yeah. and not because we think so transactionally, like right. if I come to you and do this, product of the way we were raised a lot of times, mm-hmm. if I come to you with this, I've mm-hmm. done that. I've checked this box off. I've lamented, now change it.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
And so it's a hard thing to be able yeah. to get to. Mm-hmm.
And I also think just, you know, with me, the way I grew up in fundamentalism, a lot of times when things like this would happen, you would think it's like a result of sin or something that, so that's just your whole view of God, like this mm-hmm. suffering that I'm experiencing or this grief that I feel or the longing, the unmet expectations that I feel, isn't always a result of mm-hmm. sin in your life. It's mm-hmm. a broken world that we live in. Right. And the good news is that one day he's going to make all things new. Right.
Exactly.
And that's so encouraging. I think one thing I do want to talk about before we get into hope, because we're going to sit in this lament for a second. I think in general, I said this earlier, I don't think the church has a very good, like, I don't want to say that, has a well-developed, let's use proper English, Shanna, theology of suffering. you know, and I think a lot of times the church can be a very lonely place. Yeah. For those who are hurting, you know, I think how many times I've been really struggling and I've had like the really just like the dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. And I walk into church and it's like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm great. How are you? And, you know, yeah. inside I'm like, I am really broken right now. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe speak to that? And I think just being like, we can be real with God. Mm-hmm. But being real with others, the need for community, where it's a place where it's okay to not be okay, and that you're met there, not only by the Holy Spirit, but you're met there by people. I think we try to, especially as women, we try to walk this alone and we mm-hmm. just, I'm just going to bottle it up. And maybe just the importance of community coming alongside us.
You and God's good design, we don't function well by ourselves. And I know that there are some women who might be listening who have extenuating circumstances where community is just really hard for you. And that's real, because community is also difficult to find, and people that are trustworthy and that you can share your life with. But if there's someone who is good and faithful and wise, that you would help allow them to help carry your burdens, because it's too much. And you just need a place where you don't have to be strong for anybody. You don't need to be strong. You can just be, and whether it is a ministry of presence, because all the time, we don't need the, a list of Bible verses, yeah. or a list of do these four steps and you can fix it. You just need to be able to cry with someone and someone to cry with you. And there is something hugely therapeutic about just weeping together with God's people, or just being silent with God's people, or praying with God's people, because sometimes you need somebody to help carry you a little bit of the road, and that's okay. And that's really a part of our human design. And so yeah. I always encourage people to go and find good community. You just need one good person. You'll need 15 people. You need yeah. one person who's going to pray for you. And the hard part again is using wisdom about, man, if I share what's really going on in my life, are they going to look mm-hmm. at me differently? Are they mm-hmm. going to reject me? Are they going to tell somebody, you know, well, the whole church is going to know about my business, or the whole community, or the school, you know, where my kid's school
That's
is.
That's a
or
real
whatever.
Thing, friend. Yeah.
It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And so it just is that it's this coupling of prayer, Holy Spirit, send me to the right person. You know, wisdom and how we share and how much we share, and trust is something that's built over time. So there are also people who will kind of demand all your stuff. And it's like, you don't have to tell anybody all your business. That you yeah. would trust is built over time. That's what I will mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm. And the wisdom process of finding community. But that if you have good people who have said, hey, you know, what's going on? And you know that they're trustworthy, share your stuff. Mm-hmm. Because it will transform your journey through suffering when you don't journey by yourself.
Yeah, that's so good. And you said something that I had never heard of in the church that I grew up in. That was the ministry of presence. Mm-hmm. We immediately, I remember when I was suffering, and I'm trying to be careful with how I say this, because I want, like, God's word is true. And mm-hmm. we say this all the time. We will shout it in the good times. We can whisper it in the hard times. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's not helpful mm-hmm. for someone to come over. You know, I know it. Like I said earlier, I know it. I know it in my head. I know it yeah. in my heart. I don't feel it in the moment. Yeah. And sometimes just sitting and meeting them in that space is so incredibly helpful. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad that you touched on that, because I didn't even know what that was. And I think sometimes that's the best thing that we can do, is just sit with them.
You know, and sometimes it's, we show up in good community for other people, right? So we become the person that we would hope someone would be for us. Now, it's not a guarantee, but it helps us know, again, how to communicate to our friends, hey, this is what I need in this season. And so, you know, you've said it before, we can tell people this happened because you did something bad. We can dismiss people's pain. We can, you know, Romans 8:28 is my favorite verse not to use on the immediate place of people suffering. It is true. Timing is everything.
It's a process to get there, right?
It's like, a process to get there.
That's not the first thing you come out with.
It's not the first thing. No, you know, a good meal. This is what my church has taught me. A good meal and a good hug go a long way. Mm-hmm. And showing up at somebody's door with some food, and you want to sit with them and listen to them, is a huge, powerful ministry. And I've received it. I've been blessed to give it. And I think that can be a good place we start in with people, to allow them to show us the support they need instead of trying to fix their problems.
Yeah.
And I think something that you said earlier about, like, there are people in a season where they just don't have community, or they're just, you know, it just, I would love to encourage those people though, that it is worth pursuing. It is a hard thing. And I know sometimes it just seems like there's no one, but it is totally worth it. Cause I think, I know Shannon and I always talk about this, like, there is nothing like having someone, one that knows you intimately and knows you, can almost predict how you're going to respond to something before you even respond to it. I feel like that's the way her and I are. But just someone that has walked with you in that and be able to say, this sucks. This is, you're almost like kind of in a way validating those emotions in a way of like, yes, this is hard, not dismissing, not saying like, oh, well, you know, it's all going to work out.
Trust God, Kristen.
Trust God. Yeah. And there are times to be able to remind that, right? Like there are times Shanna has said that and I'm like, I don't want to hear that right now, but it's what I needed to hear. It wasn't in a like a flippant way, but in a like, you can trust God and you can trust God with these feelings and you can trust God with this.
Yeah. Or it's, hey, Kristen, like, what do you remember to be true about God in those dark things, and making you repeat that sometimes to yourself. And you've done it to me too. It goes both ways here, sister.
Yeah.
it is just like acknowledging that there is pain and suffering. It's so beautiful. There is something, you said something in your book that the fruit of lament is hope. And I've read before that like lament is the pathway from heartbreak to hope. So it's like that in-between space. Can you talk to us a little bit about how hope is the fruit of lament?
You only pray to God because you believe he can do something. Like, you're not praying to someone who is not active, is kind of looking in on your life. It's like, man, that sucks. I hope you work it out. Like, that's not what he's doing. We believe because of scripture that God is always at work to redeem the broken things. Again, the timeline and methods of his redemption aren't always clear to us, you know, outside of this work of salvation he does through Jesus Christ. But we believe that God cares and he's at work. And that gives us hope, because that means, God, you haven't forgotten me. You haven't abandoned me, and you will do something. And so give me eyes for the something. And that little spark of hope carries you a long way. Because again, I think lament, the pain, it clouds our vision, and for good reason, right? It's hard and it's heavy. But I believe that the goodness of the Lord is being deposited into our life every day in the smallest things and the biggest things. And so lament is also this process, which I believe God transforms our vision to see the ways in which he is blessing. And if he's blessing, then he will continue to bless. And again, it's not always what we would want in the form we want it in, but it is, I serve a God who is present in my life and he's doing things and he will do something in a situation. I've seen him to be faithful before and he will be faithful again. He is faithful right now. And that to me is a place of hope. Something is going to happen. And like our Christian faith gives us that, because ultimately our hope is in an eternity in which all of these hard and broken and evil things don't exist. And we live in beauty and communion with our God. And that is an ultimate hope we rest in, but there's also present hope. There's future hope, present hope. But I believe because lament reminds us of the character of God, makes us reflect on the things that he has done and gives us a place to kind of have this cleansing of sorts to get it out, that we sit in, okay, this is who my God is. This is what he's going to do. Let me wait with hope on him.
Yeah, man, that's so good. I think hope is so important because you said there is hope that he could change our situations, but he also might not, that he will give us, I mean, we have himself, like grace to sustain us, right? And in your book, you talk about longing, and then you go through this beautiful, I'm gonna let you talk about your book in just a second, because I really want everyone to read this, and we're actually going to give away a copy, because I want people to know that there is joy. There is joy that is found when your life isn't what you thought it would be. So can you kind of talk about your heart? I love how, one of my favorite things about this book is just how vulnerable you are in it. And you're writing from a place of, hey, I've been through this and I am in this, you know? So can you kind of talk about just kind of your heart behind this book?
The book is called Embrace Your Life, How to Find Joy When the Life You Have Is Not the Life You Hope For. And the moment when you are like, this is not what I signed up for. I don't want this. I'll take anything else, you know? And I wanted to write a book for people who were carrying things they've been carrying for a long time. All right. So it's not that, okay, it'll get better next week or it'll get better in a month. It may not get better for a decade. You know, so what do we give people? And my work in ministry, I worked for two different churches in the Dallas area, not at the same time. I'm gonna tell people that they're like, you work at two churches at the same time? I'm like, no. Tell the story differently. I've talked to a lot of people who are just, and I've loved it, you know, to walk with people through just hard seasons. And I've seen two groups of people. And there's a group of people who they're carrying chronic illnesses, difficulties in their marriage, you know, single, married, financial struggles, the whole gamut, or life's just disappointing, right? Sometimes it's not big. Sometimes it's just small. Like, I don't have great friends and I just moved to this place and I don't know anybody and I wish I knew somebody. And there are people who in the midst of it, they would just choose to thrive. Like they would just fight to show up and to live. It doesn't mean the seasons were great all the time, but you could see this constant stream of, they want to move forward in their life, even though moving forward means they kind of carry this luggage of stuff with them. But then there are the people who got stuck and it was all they talked about. They couldn't move forward. Like I saw them miss opportunities, can't engage in new relationships, really not be fruitful at all, because it's just this constant record they play over and over again. And that mirrored with my own life, trying to figure out, again, it's not a book about singleness, but singleness is a really strong illustration of the longing that people have. How do I live vibrantly? Like not just limp along, but I'm going to be holding on with joy and excitement to life God has given me. And that's why I wrote the book, because I want to help people thrive. And I don't want to give people sugary, sweet answers. I don't want to tell you it's going to change, because it might not, but joy is possible. And the only reason joy is possible is because of Jesus. And so I wanted a book that no matter the season, people could pull it off the shelf and say, okay, I don't want this, but how can I find joy with it?
Yeah. And I think you did a beautiful job, because I mean, I am married and I've read this twice already. Like it is so beautiful and it hits me differently than it would hit Kristen as a single woman, you know? And then let me tell you this. And then I read it twice because I read it like digitally on, for your launch. And then I got it and I read it and like highlighted the whole book. And then sister, because I want you to record a Bible. I'm like waiting for you to record like this Bible thing, like for someone so I can like listen to your voice. So I got it also. My husband's like, you did not just also buy that an audiobook. I was like, but it hits different when she reads it.
I appreciate your support. I do. Like, I really do.
It's like number one support.
it's different. But yeah, I wanted you to be able to just kind of speak into that because it truly is a very beautiful, vulnerable, encouraging book. So I want our listeners, we're gonna do a giveaway for it. So everyone can stay tuned for that. But I also want they can go wherever books are sold, right? I've seen it, girlfriend. Yep. I've seen
there's
it.
Something.
The bookstore, I'm like, look at her in the wild. That's what I say. I've seen it in the wild. And yeah, if you want to hear more from Elizabeth, because she is just a wealth of knowledge. Elizabeth, truly, I've learned a lot from you and I'm so grateful for your ministry. But you can find her at elizabethwoodson.org or Instagram, get her truth. I would encourage people to go to elizabethwoodson.org though and sign up for your emails because I get them and I'm like, I'm so encouraged by that. So
well, thank you.
Hey, thanks. Thank you for being on here.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to like unpack this spiritual discipline for people and that it's okay to not be okay. Yeah. I read once that to cry is human, but to lament is Christian. I love it so much. So thank you, friend.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.